Come on! That's me, in a traffic-induced rage while trying to report on this story. I was on my way from Epoch Coffee on Anderson Lane to the HEB Shopping Center on the corner of Manchac Road and Slaughter Lane. It was around 6 o'clock on a Tuesday night, and things were not going well. The reason I was heading to the shopping center was to cover one of the city's Code Next community walks. Over the last few weeks, the city has been hosting a lot of these little walks throughout Austin, in an attempt to solicit public feedback on changes to the city's land development code. The city has been working hard on this initiative to revise its land development code for a few years now, in a process it's calling Code Next. And even if you don't know what the heck a land development code is, I promise you, it affects you. Especially if you've ever found yourself sitting in your car on Mopac, cursing at the top of your lungs. And that's the topic of today's show. Code Next, land development codes, and how they all affect you.
We're looking at really creating great places for people. And so one of the tools we have through Code Next are the land development regulations, because they regulate use, they regulate form.
That's Paul DiGiuseppe, principal planner for the City of Austin's Planning and Zoning Department on the Code Next team. We met up in his office last month to go over the basics of what Code Next is, what it aims to accomplish, and why any of it matters. As Paul said, the city's land development code regulates the use and form of buildings and spaces constructed throughout the city. Allow me to G-jargon that for you. Use refers to how a building can be used, whether or not it can be a residence or a restaurant, a grocery store, or a nightclub. The form refers to things like how tall a building can be, or how far it can be set back from the street. The city's code will regulate both of these things, focusing particularly on the form of buildings, something that the current code basically ignores. By ignoring the form, we end up with what we have now, a very car-centric city, one that's not at all designed with people in mind.
And so we're trying to create built forms that really are people-friendly, people-oriented, and very human-scaled.
That sounds nice, but what exactly would it look like? That's why I dragged myself through 90 minutes of traffic last week. Paul was organizing a group of city staff and local residents to take a short walk around an HEB shopping center in South Austin to show them what the area could look like under a new land development code.
We're looking to see how, you know, like this could be a hub here.
Uh-huh.
Right at the corner of Manchac and Slaughter. Could this be redesigned in a way that these buildings could be better oriented to the neighborhood around it? Because right now it's all oriented to the intersection.
Right now, the buildings are definitely designed with cars and the busy intersection in mind. The HEB is set back at least a quarter mile from the street and is surrounded by big drainage ditches and limited sidewalk space. The shopping center itself isn't much better. All of the shops are designed around a mega parking lot, making it difficult and dangerous just to walk from the HEB at one side to the subway at the other. The design essentially forces a shopper to get in their car and drive the 300-foot distance between the two. Bottom line, this is not a pedestrian-friendly environment. This is not a place where neighbors can gather. This is not a desirable community hub.
We only saw a couple people out here walking the whole time, other than us.
That's right. Hardly anyone else was out there, because who would want to go out on a leisurely stroll alongside racing traffic? Paul nearly had to scream just to be heard over the roar of the cars. But the truth is, some people don't have a choice. While we were walking around, a man in a wheelchair rode by, and once he realized what we were up to, shared some of his experiences with the group. He said that him and his wife live nearby and because of their limited mobility are forced to rely on the city's pedestrian infrastructure, which quite frankly is terrible in his neighborhood. This is something Paul thinks Code Next can fix.
But we have to think about all people.
Uh-huh.
We like to think about it as wheelchairs, skateboarders, rollerbladers. Everybody should have the opportunity to get where they want to go safely and enjoyably.
Enjoyably? Wouldn't that be nice? But how can that be achieved? One example is to change the land development code so that buildings can't be set back so far from the street. This does a few different things. Number one, it makes shopping centers more pedestrian-friendly and walkable, so that you don't have to get in your car and drive from store to store. Number two, it creates more vibrant community centers. When everyone is out and walking, there are more opportunities for small parks, street vendors, food trucks, and gathering places. When people are no longer just running in and out of their cars, there are more opportunities for vibrant social scenes. And number three, moving buildings closer to the street slows down traffic, making the streets safer for pedestrians and bikers. This wasn't super intuitive to me at first, but Paul explained that psychologically, bringing buildings closer to the street gives drivers more things to look at and to actively try to avoid, which in turn slows them down. Just think of how fast you can drive on South Congress versus Manchac. This is the kind of neighborhood that Donna Dunn wants to live in. Donna is a retiree who lives near the Manchac-Slaughter Lane intersection. I ran into her at the Codex Community Walk and asked, what changes would you like to see in your neighborhood?
Slow traffic, less dangerous intersection would be number one. Walkable would be very cool. Maybe some more interesting restaurants that are starting to come in. You know, places that we could walk to at night, you know, that would be fun and stuff like that. I would like that very much.
Another thing that Codex can do, besides making Austin more walkable, is to make it more affordable.
Another factor with affordability is the relationship to transportation. That's a real important piece because one of the most expensive costs that we all have is transportation.
Maintaining a car is expensive. You have to pay for the car itself, plus insurance, plus gas, plus all the repairs that will inevitably come at the worst possible times. Codex has the potential to cut down on these costs by designing a city that is better suited for buses, bikes, and other alternative means of transportation. Just think about that Manchac-Slaughter Lane intersection. There's a bus stop nearby, but it isn't really near any neighborhoods, and there are hardly any sidewalks to get to it, which inevitably discourages people from riding it and makes life very difficult for those who have no other choice. Okay, so that's transportation. Another way that Codex can help out with affordability in Austin is to increase the amount of housing types we have right here in the city.
Typically, Austin has essentially, generally speaking, two housing types, single family and large apartment complexes. What we're trying to do is look at the missing middle housing.
What? What the heck is a missing middle?
A missing middle housing are housing types such as garage apartments, granny flats, triplexes, courtyard apartments, things that can really fit in with a lower density neighborhood.
These are more residential areas that could slightly increase their density by adding in more affordable housing options without dramatically changing their neighborhood character with huge high-rise apartments. Right now, under the city's current code, many of these types of missing middle housing are illegal. Through the Codex process, the city is looking into ways to integrate these new types of housing into neighborhoods in a way that works for each individual neighborhood. That's where you come in. The city needs public involvement in order to ensure that the new code is written in a way that is fair and palatable to everyone.
But we're trying to look at seeing how we can make it more possible to do missing middle type housing types in the appropriate places. So again, that's why we're looking at the different places around the city to see the context so that we can put the right housing types in with the right neighborhoods. So, you know, that way, again, it can better support, it can create more benefits to a neighborhood.
These benefits include things like increased affordability and better means of transportation, both of which tie in very closely to the city's environmental goals. The more people who are able to ride public transportation, the less cars there are on the road, and the less emissions that the city produces. And the more affordable it is, the more people can actually live within city limits, cutting down on sprawl and all of the environmental problems that it causes. Plus, affordability is important in creating an equitable, diverse, and just community, all of which should be important to all Austinites. But in order for all these things to happen, the city needs your help and involvement. Right now, they are currently in the process of writing a draft code, which should be released in the late summer to early fall of 2016. After the public weighs in on that, the city will go through the process of actually mapping the code, essentially applying the new rules to actual sections of the city. Even though those things might sound a far ways off, there's actually an opportunity for you to give your opinions right now. From November 16th to the 21st, the city will be hosting the Codex Soundcheck at the Link Shopping Center. During the soundcheck, which, as the name implies, will include live music, the city's Codex team will be virtually testing different code standards for the public to look at and then weigh in on.
So the public will get a chance to see different outcomes, and so they can help us. It's important for the public to help us weigh in on seeing what their comments are on those outcomes, and it's important for people to come in to tell us how this might meet your needs. You know, we don't need people who know code. We don't need people who are architects or planners. I mean, they're all welcome. But if you have a concern about how your community works, especially how the built environment works, then we need people to come out.
For the Austin Eco Network and Shades of Green Radio, this is Amy Stansberry.
Down the road again, searching for a sign to let me know I'm not cut off from what I left behind. This unfamiliar path is winding.